Back Talk is an extension of the award-winning movie review show It's Movie Time, which airs on Fridays at 4:01 and 8:01 p.m. on WCBE 90.5 FM. Produced and hosted by John DeSando, the podcast features additional content and banter with guests. Back Talk is listed by FeedSpot as one of the top 10 movie podcasts on NPR.
How sweet it is. I'm John DeSando.
And I'm Wayne Miller Supreme.
And this is Back Talk.
It's Movie Time is produced and hosted by John DeSando. Listen to broadcast shows Fridays at 4:01 and 8:01 p.m. Read reviews and listen to shows online at WCBE.org.
I'm John DeSando.
And I'm Wayne Miller Supreme.
And this is It's Movie Time.
It sure is.
Now, I walked into the lobby of one of our local cinemas.
Yep.
And they had a miniature ping pong table.
I saw that at some point. I thought it was so
I mean,
cute.
What is this? Now, we're doing Marty Supreme today, and you're telling me this is a sports movie?
I think so. One thing I liked about this movie, some sees GI, but also with some real ping pong playing.
Yeah, he was, Chalamet was adamant that he...
It was fascinating.
There are moments for a point
when
it could take an hour.
Yes.
And if you look at the Asians serve, inverting it.
To put spins on it. But then when they get going and they are yards away from the table... As they're returning these serves.
Yeah. As far as I'm concerned, one of the best movies of the year.
I believe so.
And our theater, I think, was almost full, wasn't it?
Yes,
it was full. Unusual at Lenox.
I was very surprised. Yeah. We saw it the day after Christmas, which is a big day. The people are sick of being with get-togethers and they want to go
mad uncles.
And they seem to enjoy the movie. And it's a long movie. It's a good 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
It was realistic. Relationships. And particularly when somebody's toxic character, which Marty, he was not...
Marty Riesman, on whom this is very loosely based.
Yes.
But was a Jewish kid from the Lower East Side
who decided
he was going to be the king of table tennis of the world.
Of the world. And one of his things was coming up with schemes to raise money. So that he could travel. And early in the movie, we see him that did make his way to London.
Yeah, oh yeah.
But I really like portrayal of different people that he had relationships with. Married girlfriend, Rachel, that he gets pregnant. How he treats her and says, well, that he was superior than her because he had goals and she didn't.
It's quite a performance by her. Jeez. I'll bet she's nominated for Best Supporting Actress.
I think so.
Odessa Azion.
Also, others in the cast, John, that I... Gwyneth Paltrow, I thought, was fantastic
in this.
And she was a fading movie star.
She was the only adult in the whole movie.
Exactly. And she's married to a guy, his very first movie, and I've always loved watching the TV series reality show called Shark Tank, played by Kevin O'Leary. He did a superb job as a real bad rich guy.
Yeah.
Company made pins.
He had a resemblance for me to Louis B. Mayer.
Paltrow played his wife. He decides to maybe bankroll Marty's quest to become the best table tennis player in the world. And that's how he meets her and has an affair with Gwyneth Paltrow, who's now a stage actress, but also his mother, and played by Fran Drescher, that people would remember from the TV sitcom The Nanny. The one that fascinated me, his mentor, an older Jewish guy who was a survivor of the Holocaust and the concentration camps, who played ping pong.
Josh Safdie, who was the director,
had
put together what I thought one of the best films last year that got ignored, Uncut Gems.
Yep, exactly.
And with the same pacing, with the same slightly obnoxious lead character.
Yeah.
And Timothy Chalamet here has really risen again. And I was impressed with what he did at Bob Dylan, Complete Unknown last year. And boy, all these young people were waiting to see him this year.
There were a lot of close-up of his face that had a couple scars on and it was pockmarked from acne and everything. All makeup. They talked about how they really didn't want to make him look like a pretty boy.
Oh.
A real-life tennis champ, Kodo, and he's deaf.
Very cool.
Probably lifted it out in real life that he was so good at table tennis because he couldn't hear anything.
Yeah.
So his concentration was totally on that.
Very impressive with how cool he was.
Yes.
And I just love the way Chalamet overplays Marty.
Yep.
He makes a shot, the apoplectic. Yeah. He's so happy. He's on the floor. He's crying. Right. You just got to like his enthusiasm.
Yes. Bit of a twist ending that you see his emotion gets extremely emotional, and I won't give it away because I'm going to recommend people see this movie. Yeah. It's very well worth seeing. And to tie it in with the Oscars, because I'm sure it's going to get a number of Academy Award nominations, for the first year, they have a new Oscar category called casting. It should get it because of how they cast this movie with non-professionals like O'Leary and Coda, but other. Also want to throw another one in there, that how it evoked not only the milieu of these table tennis events and matches and everything, but also the Lower East Side of New York City. The production design, and I bet it'll win for that. And the 80-year-old production designer who's been in the business for over 50 years, Jack Fisk, Sissy Spacek's husband.
There's a list of teen rebels.
Yeah.
And a couple of the famous movies for these teen rebels would be Breakfast Club People and Ferris Bueller. Not a replica of Frank Abagnale, Catch Me If You Can.
Oh, yes, yes.
With Leo.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah, with Leo.
Another Spielberg movie.
Right, who was a much smoother, much underplayed compared with Chalamet.
Toxic people in sports movies. Bobby Fischer.
Let's do that a little bit later. That's a good idea. Let's look at sports movies. And it doesn't necessarily have to be a replica of this.
No.
But it's juxtaposing this one against sports movies.
Yes.
And for people who are wondering, you know, is this really a sports? And it's, for me, it's secondarily a sports movie.
Yes, you're absolutely right.
It is mostly character-driven.
Exactly.
And Chalamet has the responsibility for that.
Yep. Somebody, and it's not even sports movies, but a lot of movies that we've seen, that somebody has such a drive and desire to be number one in what they're doing, what they do is that they ruin their relationships by how they treat their friends and family and coworkers.
And I'd like to look a little bit also at con men. One of our esteemed colleagues considers that a real negative, that he is a con man. He is, but he isn't. For me, he represents the youthful abandon, but then it has the fire and ambition of a young man.
Yep. This character, Marty Mauser's immaturity, when he's giving an interview about that he's going to play his older buddy, the Holocaust survivor, I'll destroy him. I'll do to him what Auschwitz, the concentration camp, couldn't.
Right.
And then he said, oh, I'm Jewish. I could get away with saying something.
He says, I'm Hitler's worst
enemy. And I'm still here.
Wayne Miller.
Yes.
The movie is Marty Supreme.
Yes, it is, and it's a supreme movie.
What do you suggest?
I suggest people to see it. It's obviously, some kids may get, I think probably even as young as 12, 13, when they start reaching puberty and maturity, and I think they can maybe identify with the immaturity of this character.
Oh, yeah, and see this very young man bed an iconic Hollywood Gwyneth Paltrow, who wouldn't even kiss Ethan Hawke in a movie years ago.
Yes.
Because he would offend her father. She's come a long way.
Yes.
You never know if that's she.
Yeah.
Whether they cut away or not.
Yeah.
Okay, so Marty Supreme. So we're talking about Marty Supreme. I think it's dominated by the performance of Timothy Chalamet. He has energy. He has wit. He has abandon. He's foolish. He's got all the characteristics that we admire in strong young men. If we consider the turn he did on Bob Dylan last year.
Well, and let's not forget Dune.
And he's coming up in Dune.
Yes.
In the new Dune. So what a big year for him. You mentioned you wanted us to talk about sports movies.
Well, or competition movies is a better
thing. All right, I don't care.
And one of the ones that made me, as I got home, was driving home after seeing this, that it reminded me of Paul Newman's character in the 1961 classic movie, The Hustler.
Oh, yeah, with Jackie Gleason.
Which, as you stop to think, some of these marathon pool or billiards games, the stamina, the physical stamina, as well as the mental stamina that they would have to have. His character in that would ruin relationships. His big dream was to beat Minnesota Fats, memorably played by Jackie Gleason in that one. And he gets his comeuppance in that movie, you know, that he realizes that he hasn't been very nice to people. And I think the same thing with Marty Mauser in Marty Supreme, the same thing.
So we're, you know, as our audience is listening to us and still questioning, what do we call this, a sport? Table tennis is a sport.
It is.
For serious-minded people, and any of us who have played a little bit of it know how much fun it is for young people, it's, and particularly college students, for instance. This is something they can put up or close down in their dormitories. It's a sport. They don't have to have a big gymnasium.
Well, and it's particularly popular in Asian countries. And we get a taste of that when Marty makes it to Japan. And how the Japanese people treat their table tennis icons, cheering them on. This was like only about 7 or 8 years after the end of World War II, and in the early 50s, and you know, when Japan had been devastated, and how it kind of earned back the some pride in the nation that they really looked at the table tennis as a way of doing that. Other than some of the other sports.
Oh, yeah.
A close second would be baseball. You know, they came to love baseball quite a bit.
Yeah, Safdie, keeping this really light, is not heavy on the allegorical elements of it. That's one, the one about the reparations, so to speak.
Yes.
Just the way they did with, wasn't it Godzilla or something?
Especially that, the early Godzilla at 55, especially the Japanese version of Godzilla, and then they took most of that, but it was cut scenes in it, and it came out in 1955. The one Godzilla, though, was right after, a year or so after the war.
Yeah. This movie is more about Chalamet as character than it is his character as being a table tennis champion. And it, just the way, and I mentioned Catch Me If You Can with Leo.
Yes.
Is much more about his shenanigans than it is about any of the characters that he played. I think of him dressed up in his airline pilot's.
Yes, you know, with
Tom Hanks
bevy of the air stewardesses, air hostesses, or whatever. Yeah. And you're absolutely right in a way that it's kind of like a major plot point.
As they were playing, I wanted to see more of their playing.
Oh, yes.
I mean, did you see the arc in some of those?
Chalamet learned what, you know, trained so that he could keep up with it. But there were certain things that they had to do with CGI. Few frames at a time of the CGI because it was going so of the ping pong. And having the players, including Chalamet, mimic their moves and running around and yards away from the table, you know, and hitting the ball. And they had to, in several of those scenes, it was a CGI ping pong ball.
Yeah. As I'm sitting there, I'm thinking that this is, you know, my colleague says it's a con man and it's a negative in the film. And I don't think it is. I think it's positive. Oh, I love seeing con men.
Oh, yeah. Particularly if there is a hint of redemption.
Oh, yeah. Well, look,
I think Chalamet did, because as the movie went along, he became maybe a little less shallow, you know, still immature, but
I think
leaning on others.
Yeah, the ending shows that.
Yeah.
Where Safdie, the director, was going with it. We're going to take away from this. We'll take a look at what he does in the ending to know what learning is for us and for our major character.
Yeah. There's got to be some sort of degradation of the character. And in this case, in Marty Supreme, is when he had to drop his drawers when his benefactor,
that was a good
Kevin
scene.
O'Leary,
that was a good,
paddled him.
That was a good scene.
With a ping pong. And that's what reminded me of the comeuppance of Paul Newman's character in The Hustler, is when they broke his fingers. Had to have some sort of physical degradation of the character.
Well, if you look at some of the ones that we've enjoyed in the last couple of years, the con men that we've enjoyed, a clearer definition of what you're saying, where there's the negative and the positive. For instance, the Roof Man.
Oh, yes,
if you remember
definitely.
That with,
yes.
Channing Tatum.
Yes.
And then Trapped.
Yes. Serial homicidal killer.
That couldn't help but like the guy.
Yes. That he was so slick in how he conned people. Kind of goes along because, you know, going back years, and since I brought up Paul Newman and the now Robert Redford, movies like Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, The Sting, particularly yeah. The Sting, probably. I would guess the greatest con man movie.
Another con man way back, and we'll see him now in The Odyssey, Matt Damon.
Talented Mr. Ripley, yes.
You can get some of these con men who are totally charming.
Yes.
And not totally bad.
And wasn't Gwyneth Paltrow in Talented Mrs. Ripley?
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah.
I'll have to go. And I think his buddy, Ben Affleck, could pull off being a charming con man.
Yeah, he is
in, like that.
Isn't he a bit like that in The Accountant?
Yes, definitely. Which, of course, his character was so interesting in that since he was on the autism spectrum. Cooked the books for the mob, you know, things like that.
Said, and I think it's reflective of us that we take such joy in these con men, because there's something about that in ourselves, a little bit that we really enjoy. And we enjoy anybody we meet who's got that con man thing. Which
and we get a big kick out of one friend of ours, particularly Dr. E. Yang, who calls her bad boys, because there's always a charm, you know, because, you know, how women sometimes like a little bit of the rebelliousness in their boyfriends. That they grow out of what if they take it too far after they get married, as far as still being, quote, a bad boy, but a bad boy with charm.
All right. The movie is Marty Supreme.
Yes.
Now, Wayne Miller.
Yep.
We've got a lot of people who, at least your relatives do, who rely on your opinion.
Oh.
About a movie.
And,
I mean, you know, Beth has now joined our ranks, and so she's listening very carefully to what her Uncle Wayne is going to recommend.
It's so funny. Christmas Day, I was at my brother's house, and one of my grandnephews, who knows I'm really into movies, and he came, he said, now, Uncle Wayne, he said, a bunch of my friends are going tonight, in a Christmas night, to see Marty Supreme. They said, here, it's really good. And I said, well, I'm seeing it tomorrow night, and we're recording a review of it. He said, that's great. Let me know what you think of it. Because it's going to be a date night for, you know, he and his wife, get a babysitter for the kid and go to a movie.
I think it's a great holiday time movie.
Yes.
That almost of every age, except when he beds Gwyneth Paltrow, I guess.
Yes.
I draw the line there and say, well, whether you're 10 or 11 year old should see it.
Yep. And Marty,
nothing wrong with me seeing it, I'll tell you right now.
Marty Supreme, the character in there, is, I think, a walking example of a great Kris Kristofferson lyric in one of his songs. He was a walking contradiction, partly truth and partly fiction.
We're pretty much recommending for most of the family.
Yes.
At this time of year.
Yep.
That we see Marty Supreme, get an insight into table tennis, and mostly get an insight into the vicissitudes of the life of a young man.
Yep.
It's called Marty Supreme.